And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, how I adore the classics. The preaching of something I love and appreciate. This particular piece is a classic that I taught on this show 3.5 years ago. Wow, that's a long time, right? I plan to teach it the exact same way. You might wonder, well, given that the show's only been around for 4.5 years, shouldn't all the material be fresh? No. Jesus left an example by repeating his teachings multiple times in a 3-year period. So, yeah, no. Next, you might ask, what do I consider a classic? Excellent question. I'm glad you asked me. To me, a classic involves crying out to the Lord with deep, agonizing shouts, despite being rebuked or rebuffed, either by people or by principalities. We expressed our deepest desires and emotions, not because we don't trust his kindness, but because we seek his attention. Some may advise us to be dignified in our approach, but my response to them is pretty simple. Not a chance. Finally, the most crucial aspect we need to understand is our attitude. To borrow a line from Roger again, cast away your doubts, fears, anxieties, and your old life, but don't use a fishing rod that allows you to reel them back in. And as a famous movie line once said, let it go, let it go, let it go. So you know what? Sometimes you just gotta let it go.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, noive, so much more. Hey, remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? Now, I am going to comment here before I give you information on how to contact us. You just should have seen Jacob's face when I was singing that song so poorly. His face was squinting like he was eating like lemon right from the...
No, it was amazing. I shed a tear.
Yeah, that's what that was. You were so moved by it. Yes, I understand. Okay, here's what bottom line. Maybe you've got something you want to share. Maybe you've got a praise report. We love it. Praise reports are awesome. Psalm 40 makes it very clear. When the Lord puts your feet upon a rock and a new song in your mouth, and you sing that song, other people hear it and they trust the Lord. That's the truth. So the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You got a praise report? Share it. People love it. You got a prayer request? Let's bring it. Let's pray. Let's petition. You think, well, are you going to pray about it every day? Yep. What do you mean you're going to pray about it every day? Yep. You're going to pray about it every day? Yep. Get the idea? And you don't stop. Push. Pray until something happens, right? You can pray with Thanksgiving and all that other stuff. Great, 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 great. But here again, we just think about this. The grace of God is with us all. Not just positionally, although that is phenomenal beyond understanding, but also situationally. That's what Hebrews 4:16 is about. So we're going to ask you, you want to reach out to us, you need prayer, you got a praise report, you got something you want to share. It's not a kvetch fest. You don't have to tell me about all the bad stuff that's going on. I know. I got ears. They're big. I have eyes. They're not big, but I got a nose. Good size. Good size nose. I get it. But right now, it's focus on encourage one another time. And that's what it is. And just like, you know, you have to take a nap. You had recess in kindergarten. You had reading time. Okay, well, this is just encourage one another time. That's all that is. And so we ask you, if you want to reach out to us, do so by sending an email, david@hemusincrease.org. You can do that. It's very safe. david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can also call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you know, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. When you talk to Jammin' Jacob, I want to give you the awestruck feeling that's like. That's like you're reading your Bible, and then you hear on the radio or from some other friend the same text you'd read them in the morning. You're like, what? Wow. That's what it's like to talk to Jammin' Jacob. Like that one?
Yes, I do. That's Thank you, David.
That's a good
Happy
one.
Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday
to you. Talking
to
you is like hearing a rendition of the Frozen Let It Go song.
You know what's really sad about this is, I'm just going to say this, because I have 7 grandkids. My eldest grandchild, she's only 8, right? But when she was 6, or she did a whole show for everybody on the song, and the whole with the microphone and everything.
Yeah, that movie's very popular. It's actually, I read today that they're making a live-action one because, you know, they're making a live-action Lion King, and they already did that, but...
You know what's amazing about that is they have no really new ideas, like with
no.
the movies. It's like everything is, it's a remake of a remake of a remake. It's just originality is starting to thin out pretty intensely. All right, anyway, and then for those that are like, well, they shouldn't like Frozen, she's 6. Take a break. And her parents are mighty in faith, trust me. They're much more mighty than I will ever be in faith. All right, so anyway, the point in all that is that this is a engage, interact with one another, talk to one another, bless one another, encourage one another kind of show. I do some teachings, like the last 20 minutes was some good teaching. I like that. And then we do trivia questions. So here's your trivia question. What was the name of the woman judge in the time of Judges? What was the name of the woman judge? Was it Miriam, Ruth, or Deborah? What was the name of the woman judge in the time of Judges? Was it Miriam, Ruth, or Deborah? Judges chapter 4 is where you want to go for that. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. We are going to do our DNA, because DNA is very important to do. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. People, every day. Let me say this again. Every day. Every day, spend some time with the Lord. It doesn't even matter how much. The thing is, it's not, don't make it a legalism thing. Don't make it a law. Keep it a relationship. Like I said, I mean, Noelle and I, when we spend the weekend together, we don't say, well, they'll spend from this to this together, talking about this to this and this to this. That is not a relationship. We just go with each other. That's all. Okay? Do that with the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord daily. That's D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. They are, who's they? The world, the worldly system, and everything that tries to be a big G but does not qualify are going to try and get you to be ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ, eventually trying to make the Bible hate speech. I've been saying it for 10 years. So don't tell me it's new. No way. You need to know the word. You need to appreciate, receive, mix with faith, and stand in the Word of God, or Jesus will be ashamed of you when he returns. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is just a great, sometimes I think about this, and I think of like a periscope. I know it's really funny. But what we do is we go around and we look at a periscope, but we only look at the periscope and we look at a mirror. We just like go, there I am in my submarine, there I am. But you need to use that periscope to look at other people. You look at others and be involved in their life and know what's going on, not just on the surface, but underneath. That's why I used the submarine reference. Not just on the surface, but underneath. And so then you get to know them, really know them. And you get to share and rejoice when things are great, just like we did with Rosalind and with Robert. Or you get to cry and weep when things are hard, like we did with John and Nola. You do that because that's what the family of God does. Okay? All right. That's our DNA. One more time on the triv question, which most of you should know. What was the name of the woman judge in the time of Judges? Was it Miriam, Ruth, or Deborah? That is the question. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. And here we go. I'm telling you now, I really like this, so I hope you guys put up with this. Just, you never know what's really going to come out. We'll just do our best, okay? Here we go. This is Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, they were leaving the city. Now, we do have somebody calling in. I'm going to give him a chance, but I'm just leave it here. And a blind man named Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. See if this person has a trivia answer. Give them that chance and then go back. See how we're going to do that? Up and down and up and down. But you need to hear this because this is an encouraging word. Is this for a trivia question? Yes, it is. Let's send that person through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Don, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, bro.
I'm so glad to hear that, bro. I am. I'm really glad to hear you're doing great, just to let you know that, okay? All right, you ready? Are you feeling good? Feeling like you know it?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm setting it up for you, and then you knock it out of the park. Here we go. What was the name of the woman judge in the time of Judges? Was it Miriam, Ruth, or Deborah?
Well, I hope it's Deborah.
That is correct, Amundo!
I thought that it was.
It was. Miriam was the sister for Mo. Ruth was in the
right.
Ruth and, you know, the Ruth Naomi right. kind of story there. Deborah was the judge.
Yep.
And I want to give Aunt Deb props because she was the first one to answer and she said, me, because her name is Deborah. That's pretty funny. That's pretty good. How you doing, bro? You doing good?
I'm doing good. I am trying to make some up for my Sunday school class next week. I'm this weekend.
You are like a blazing. You're like a blazing chef cookie person, right?
You know, I kind of quit making cookies.
You and did.
Too many people that are not in choir. I mean, I walk out with a whole bunch of them, and it's supposed to be for my friends. They're in choir.
That's hilarious.
Oh, well. I shouldn't have said that. There might have been a
list. Now you're in trouble. That's
it's
all right,
okay.
Brother.
It's okay.
They'll love you. Don't worry about it. I think it's great.
All right, brother.
Excellent job, bro.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. So now let's go back to the text. And here we are back at the text. So listen, you got to follow this. This is really cool. It's really cool stuff. So they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Hear that? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. All right. Though it's probably difficult for many, consider this. Here's a guy that is blind. He's got some kind of connection, or they wouldn't give you the Son of Timaeus kind of element. So some people think he might have been some form of royalty or some form of somebody well-known. That's why they gave the distinction. Maybe. Sounds all right to me. I don't have a problem with that. Here's what's going on, though. He hears that Jesus is coming into the city. He doesn't see that Jesus is coming into the city. He's blind, okay? But he hears it. And in hearing it, he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So there's like four things in this, but let's just talk to the big part of it. When it says that he shouted, he cried out. I mean, he was shouting. This is not somebody that's like going like this. "Oh, Jesus. Oh, hey, Jesus. Oh, hey, over here. Oh, hey, I'm Mr. Bill. Oh, hey, Jesus. Hey, over here." That's not what was going on. The guy was shouting. And then he says, "Son of David." That's a messianic reference. He's a believer recognizing, might not understand all of it, but recognizing Christ as a Messiah. Probably heard multiple things about Jesus, one could assume. But it's not in Scripture. You got to be careful. We do know for sure he calls Jesus Son of David, which is a messianic reference, recognizing Christ as Messiah. But then he says, "Have mercy on me." And he says it twice. And that's L-A-L-O. 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 And you know what it means? It means two major things. It means be kind to me, and it also means help. And that's what he's asking for. He's asking for help. So if you're a person that's ever asked the Lord for help, you need to hang out because you're going to see what happens, how he responds, and why it's in the book for our sake. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated. Knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. And here we go for your next trivia question. What did the preaching, in the beginning of the preaching of John the Baptist and Jesus, what did it consist of? In the very beginning of Jesus preaching and the very beginning of John the Baptist preaching, what did it consist of? Did it consist of baptism, repentance, or joy? The very beginning. By the way, it's the same beginning that Peter had and Paul had, but that's besides the point. What was the beginning? What was the beginning message of both Jesus and John the Baptist when they first started preaching? What did that consist of? Was it baptism, repentance, or joy? That's the question. Just so you can know, your answer is in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Matthew 3, 1 and 2. That tells you what's going on. That tells you what you need to know. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the question is, what was the first thing? So if you think about it, if you go to Matthew 3, 1 through 2, what's the first thing John the Baptist said? What's the first thing that Jesus said? That's what you're trying to key in on. What were the first messages, which was the same message that Paul gave and Peter gave, by the way, just in case you're wondering. That's the trivia question. And we'll do it just to make sure, I'm sure everybody got it. What did the beginning, very first, almost first word of the preaching of John the Baptist and Jesus consist of? If you think you know, reach out to us. We will be glad to put you on the air. You can also text us, by the way. You don't have to call, but you can text us, 214-210-8483. I do want to remind everybody that we do have football tickets available for October 28th, the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes at SMU. So if you want those, you just got to reach out to us. We got to try and do this by the end of this week. So if you're interested, there's 4 tickets and a parking pass to an SMU football game. It's on the 28th. The game starts at 11 a.m. Kind of nice because you can just take people there and doesn't take very much to do it. Reach out to us either by text, by phone, or by email, and we're glad to get you the tickets. They give us a certain amount of tickets for our show to give away. Sometimes I ask silly questions like, what's the name of my dog? Or what's the name of the show? Let's go with that. What's the name of the show? That's a good one. I like that. That's just really straightforward. If you're interested in tickets, don't hesitate to reach out to us, okay? All right. Okay. Now, I'm not even near done, so just take a deep breath. Got a lot to cover. I want to pick it back up with this individual, Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the roadside, and he's begging. And he's begging. He's like, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, have mercy on me. Okay? This is if you think about this in a situation, most of us would say, how rude. I mean, that's what a lot of people would say. But the problem there is that rudeness and dignity are not always a part of faith. So in the scripture, it says this. After he asks for help, verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. So let's just talk about this for a split second, okay? The people who were around Bartimaeus were putting their own spin on the situation, and what they said to Bartimaeus was, shut up. They said, they rebuked him, told, be quiet, dude, stop yelling for Jesus, knock that off. And see, the people were basically saying, and I know you don't, might not catch all this, but he's a beggar. You can't be shouting at the Messiah. You're a beggar. You're not worthy. So stop your whining. But what did he do in response to that? What was his response? He cried out all the more. He took it to the next level. What do you mean he took it to the next level? See, dignity and dignified and everybody make sure your nose is powdered is not a part of Scripture. 2 Samuel 6:20-23, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came to meet him. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants and as any vulgar fellow would do. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people. And I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. God's response, Michal could not have any children. God was not happy with her. God closed her womb. And David said, I was undignified, and before the Lord, I'll be even more undignified. I don't care. And that attitude is the differential on everybody being, oh, so Christianese or a real follower of Christ. So the people are saying to him, dude, be quiet. Stop talking. You're a beggar. Stop your whining. And Jesus' response is what? Call him up here. Uh-oh. I just want to... You know, I like what the scripture says. I'd like to be there. You know, after Jesus had called him, then they said to the blind man, cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. And you just have to sit there and think, man, that was a quick change of tune, right? Be quiet. You're a beggar. Oh, wait, Jesus wants you. Okay, yeah, get up here. Talk. It's just like so weird. Bible says in verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What's the theory there? The theory is that the cloak was a cloak indicating he was blind. Maybe. Or it could have been an indication of his royal connection to a family. Maybe. Scripture doesn't give you that. But whatever it was he had on him, he threw off him and came to Jesus. Whatever you have on you that's keeping you back from being undignified, throw it off you. Whatever you have that's making you think, well, I don't think my parents or my family or my friends will really appreciate it, too bad. They don't have a heaven to put you in. You either get it right with God or get lost in the process. And so he throws this cloak to his side and jumped to his feet, which is pretty good, by the way, for a blind person to jump to their feet. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that negative. I'm saying that's good. I mean, that's like a lot of energy going on there. He's ready to meet with Jesus. But he's not going to let anybody or anything stand in his way or hold him back. Hey, I got a message for you. We should all be fortunate like that. We should all be that spirited. We should all have that passion. He already knows Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of David. Now he needs help. He needs him to be kind to him in the situation, and he's not going to let anything stop him from getting there. How cool is that? It's just cool. All right, what did the preaching of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ consist of? In the beginning, was it baptism, repentance, or joy? And the answer is repentance. The first message Jesus said was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This first message John the Baptist said was repent. The first message that Peter said was repent. In fact, in teachings, when you look at Paul's teaching, the first thing he said was repent, which means to change not just direction, but to change the way you're thinking so that it aligns with God. And then after that is demonstrated by baptism, right? All right. And then after that is a feeling of joy. Oh, that's nice. It kind of works together. Oh, yeah, that's cool. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White, was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
If Jesus was lying.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. See, I love teaching shows like this because this is just like, this is where I have the most fun. I know people are like, well, don't you like telling jokes? Yes. Don't you like doing history? Yes. Don't you like doing trivia? Yes. But this kind of stuff. I think of this blind guy and I think, I want that guy's tenacity. I want that guy's attitude. Like, nope, here I come. Here I come, Jesus. I mean, that's just so great. All right, anyway, here is your next trivia question. What is the meaning of the word anathema? Anathema. Ooh. Found in Galatians chapter 1, 8 and 9. Anathema. Is it happy? Is it blessed? Or is it cursed? Happy, blessed, or cursed? Anathema. Let him be anathema. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website and just encourage you. We can use a little bit of the do-re-mi, if you catch my drift. And on the website is an opportunity to give, which we would really appreciate. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Jennifer scoring big.
That's a classic.
That's so good. What an excellent job that was. Hello. Okay. Back to the trivia question, then we'll do history. What is the meaning of anathema? Paul said they are anathema. Is it happy, blessed, or cursed? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 would be your reference point. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I can tell somebody must have heard me saying I'm probably going to do history because somebody's calling in, and so they're trying to spare everybody from having to hear history or my jokes. Probably more the jokes than anything else, which I acknowledge. Some are funny, some are funnier, and some are funny less. Okay, I'm just saying, that's how it goes. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to? Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, hey, David, it's Tyler. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Loving this weather right now. Thank
yeah,
you.
It's nice, isn't it? So nice. Oh, my goodness. I kept the door open in the backyard thinking, it's okay. I'm not ruining the air conditioner.
it's not Iraq here.
Oh, I just love it. Just love it. All right, you ready for the triv?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. Let me set it up, and then you can hit the ball. What is the meaning of anathema? Is it happy, blessed, or cursed?
I'm going to go with cursed because it sounds like a plague.
That is correct, Armando! That's right. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you why, because that's a really tough and positive when you talk about the people at the Church of Galatia. He goes, let them be anathema. It's like, uh-oh. that doesn't sound good. You know, we have different phrases. Ours have a little bit more to do with H-E-double-L kind of stuff. And that, but this is like, that's what he's saying. He's just saying it in one word. That's all. So, wow.
Yeah.
Great job, brother. Great
job. You get to learn a lot reading the Bible.
Yeah. You just amazing how much stuff is there. But then it's also amazing how much everybody's trying to soften. It's like, you know, he doesn't say, I'm going to just spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to throw up. That's what it's like. People don't like to hear it. It's like, but that's what he said. What do? Just
yeah,
smile.
Well, being lukewarm, you got to obey him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, get right with God or get thrown up.
That's right. Exactly. Excellent statement. Great job, bro. I appreciate
it. Hey, appreciate the laugh.
Okay. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, so what we're going to do is not do history yet because I got too much to teach. You just have to wait. Okay. All right. Now, I just love this because, listen, this is so good. So he throws this clip. We're back to and again, don't misunderstand. It's like, yes, I understand. Dave, I've heard this before. I have too. I've taught it before. I've taught it multiple times. Every time I teach it, I just think, wow, I just want to have that attitude. I just want to have that spirit. I just want to have that disposition. I just want to have that kind of mindset that this guy is like, I am not going to let anybody stand in between me and Jesus. That's the mindset. I'm not going to let anybody, listen to this. I am not going to let anybody stand in between me and Jesus. Nobody. That's the mindset. So now going back to this, Jesus calls him up, right? So Jesus said, calls him up. They all like, cheer up. Yeah, great. Verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. I have to say it. I've said it before. I can't not say it. You can't get mad at me. There's no point in getting mad at me. I love you. I love you in the Lord. Not trying to offend anybody. He's blind, Jesus. What do you think he wants? I mean, that would be I don't care. I stand fast in that because the reason is because it's obvious. But Jesus asks the question. He asks the question to zero in the faith. Now, what does that mean? Sometimes when we use our faith, we use a shotgun approach. It's spread out all over. But sometimes we need to have more of a snipery kind of faith that's very specific and very in tune. So when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" you need to know what it is you're petitioning the Lord for. What do you want? Don't say, "Oh, I want, you know, Skittles and rainbows and unicorns and everybody's happy and there's stars all over the place." That's not a prayer, right? Pray specifically. What do you want? I want this person healed of this thing inside their body. I need this amount of money. I need you to help me with this rent. I need you to help me with this situation, with this relationship I have with this person. I need specifically peace in my home. I mean, that's the kind of thing that Jesus wants. He doesn't want you to spread it all over. And so what the guy does is he's like, "I know what I want. I want to see." And what's important about that is understanding the attitude, the disposition, knowing what you want. Don't get weird on me, but if Jesus did come down and talk to you and you were having one of those great conversations and the Lord said to you, "What can I do for you? What do you want me to do?" All I'm asking you is, how would you answer? What would you say? Some of you would say, "I'd like to find my purpose." Some of you would say, "I'd like to be less bitter." Some of you would say, I'd like to not have anxiety. But know what it is and be specific about it and be into that process because you want to be forward and honest with Jesus. I told you about my prayer. I'll tell you again. I don't care. You still talk about it a lot. It worked. When I was doing drugs and I knew the Lord was calling me on the carpet, I just told him, I like doing drugs. I like it. But I know you don't want me to do it. I need your help. Help me. Help me do a better job. Help me stand at a distance. Help me be functionally better. Get this, take this desire outside of me so I don't walk around with this desire in me to do it. So what I'm trying to challenge you in is know what it is that you want the Lord to do. What do you want Jesus to do? Know it. Be sure. Bring it to get ready. If there's nothing that's going to separate you and you're going to go all the way for it, you better know what you're zeroing in for. Maybe it's just for you. It's just an assurance that his love is there for you, and you know which of course is true in his word. But maybe that's what you just be honest. And tell the Lord what's really going on. That's all I'm saying. What do you want, dude? I want to see. Okay. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassador's Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. For you and I, God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death, That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Before we do our trivia, I got two things I need to share with you. We're going to pray for somebody. Dr. Jesse has a friend that is named Alicia who is potentially on like a suicide watch. So we're going to pray for her. So we do that in a moment. But I do want to share a kind of a more humorous story from Eddie Otto, somebody who texts or emails us during the show. He said he was looking up for a spiritual name for his business, and his mom suggested anathema. And then he wrote, I think she meant Maranatha. And then 30 minutes later, she called and said, don't use that name. Don't use that other name. That's a great story. Good job, Eddie. That's really funny. All right, now to Dr. Jess. He's got a friend named Alicia, and it's a potential suicide situation. He's not really sure if she's saved. Let's just lift her up before the Lord, ask God to help. That's kind of what we do all the way around. That's what we want to do right now. So let's pray for her. Let's join your faith with mine. Father, we come before you right now, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up Alicia to you, and we ask you to deliver her from the disparity that's attacking her and the demons that are trying to get her to terminate her own life. We ask you that you would bring your healing and grace and mercy and power into her. Exact same attitude that Bartimaeus had. We're just asking you, Lord, we're just asking you to bring hope for this woman who has no hope. You are the God of hope. And we ask you to give her that light, that beacon, so she will not do the unthinkable, but call upon you and have a life that's unimaginable. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so when we do that, and you think, well, why do you do that in the show, and you got this going on? Because we do everything. This is how life is. This is what you do. You take care of one another the best you can, right? Okay. Now, additionally, into all these other things, we got one more trivia question, then a final teaching. Here's your trivia question. On what basis does God accept us? Is it based on our pride, our goodness, or our faith? Is it based on our pride, our goodness, or our faith? What's the basis that God accepts us in? Your answer, of course, is going to be Romans 3:30. But what basis does God accept us? Al, of course, says on first base. That's just a baseball reference. We'll just ignore that for right now. Is it in our pride, in our faith, in our goodness? What is it that the Lord accepts us in? Is it in our pride? Is it in our faith? Is it our goodness? What is it? Okay? If you think you know, somebody thinks they know, they're calling in. If you want to text in, you got to hurry. We only got a limited amount of time. I got to finish this teaching, and I am going to finish it no matter what. So we want that opportunity. Of course, be praying for the people. Praise report from Rosalind and Robert, phenomenal. Praying for Alicia that the Lord would give her hope. Thanking and praising the Lord for all these great things we got going on. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you, sir?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I got to say, I'm doing pretty good.
I remember one of your little captions about a interview with St. Peter. And it, I must say that it certainly shouldn't affect this answer, even though that brought up pride. So we'll go with faith.
That is correct, Amanda! I just want to say, you know, there's one thing in that interview. I've mentioned this before, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but in that interview. So I wrote that interview. I recorded that interview, did that whole thing. And in the interview, Peter says to me, "That's a great question, Dave." It's one of those little one-liners that most people didn't even catch. It's like, come on, that's funny.
Well, it was one I just kind of stuck in the back of my head for some reason.
That's
where it ought to stay.
Excellent job, my brother. Excellent, excellent job as always. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, love that, love that. He's so good when he answers. It's so good. All right, now, I only got like 5 minutes, so let me enjoy the 5 minutes. I mean, I got to close out the message. Here, Jesus, as you know, has this guy, and he asks him point blank. He goes, "What do you want?" I still like this, and the first time I taught this message, don't get offended, but the first time I taught this message, it was a really fun atmosphere, like more college-y kind of atmosphere. And I said, when Jesus said, "What do you want?" And then I had answered for the guy, "I want to play the piano." Anyway, that's obviously not the case. He wants to see. So he knows specifically what he wants. Verse 52 is everything that hinges, everything you and I need to know. "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Now he wasn't going to follow Jesus by ear. He was going to follow him by sight, right? Because now he could see. But in order to be able to see what he could see, he had to have faith. Here is the key to the encouragement. You and I need to have faith to see what Jesus is doing, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. You and I need to see with faith about the things of God. You and I need to understand that we need to see it with faith. Now, I don't care if you've had a situation and it's just been a bad scenario all the way around. And I'll just quote you Philippians 3:13. "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead." There's no point in looking backwards thinking you're going to change anything. You're not. And what we need to do, what all of us need to do, is have a forward-looking mindset. But the key in that is understanding that we need faith to see. We need faith to see what God is doing. Here's the thing. You don't need faith to see what the world is doing. You just need your flesh. That's all you need. But to see what God is doing, you need faith, because that's the vehicle that he chose. So this guy has faith. And he's not going to quit. And he's not going to let anybody get in his way. And he's going to just keep pushing. And he's going to go forward for Jesus. And people are going to insult him. And he doesn't care. He wants what he wants, and he needs it in Jesus. And nothing is going to stop him. And Jesus tells him, "Your faith has healed you." It worked. And we need to be a people who walk by 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, which says we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't walk your Christian walk by what you see, because then you're leaning on your own understanding. How wrong is that? Here's what we know. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Would you want me to say it? I'll say it as nice as I can. Because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we're idiots and we should not do that. What we need to do is walk by what we can believe and not by what our eyes see, but what we can believe God for. When you look at a circumstance, if you can look at it with the way that God wants you to, in this ability to understand that anything is possible with God and he can do anything and is waiting for people to step up and have faith to move upon them in certain ways, it's like it just becomes a completely different existence. And you live with this never-dying hope. Almost goes back to the very first thing we taught in this show. It's a never-dying hope. It keeps moving forward, and you keep seeing it, and you keep saying, you know what? With God, this is possible. Which is exactly what Jesus said. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Because God in the picture changes everything. Well, you need to, you want to have God in the picture, you better have faith. Because that's the vehicle he has chosen. What does it say in Hebrews 11, 6? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I want to please you, Lord. I want to please you. I want to please you. I'm not going to believe you, Lord. I just want to please you. How are you going to please him without believing? You have to believe. And it's not just the story of redemption. It's not just believing that there is a God. It's believing God. Even the devil believes in God. That's ridiculous. Of course he does. But that's not believing God, is it? Right? Oh, come on. That's just good stuff. All right, folks. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart will mend? Broken hearts don't die, they just grow old.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.